Next morning, Zia was able to read all their movements when he studied the sign they had left. On the third night, Kayser ordered a surprise attack. He set up camp at nightfall. His troopers secured the horses, ate their dinners, and posted sentries. Then the others rolled into their blankets and let the fires die down. They knew from Kier's observations that Bakat must be spying on them. As soon as it was dark, Kier led Kurtz and Urdemann silently and secretly out of the camp. They circled out to try to slip past Bakat and surprise Jim at his campfire, but the two white men, even though they had removed their spurs and wrapped rags around their boots to deaden the sound, were no match for Bakat. He heard every blundering step they took in the darkness. When Kier and the two white men reached Jim's campfire, it was long deserted and the flames had burned down to embers. Two nights later, Kurtz and Urdemann lay in wait for Bakat well outside the perimeter of their camp. Bakat had an animal instinct for survival. He smelt Kurtz from 20 paces. A white man's sweat and stale cigar smoke have a distinctive aroma. Bakat rolled a small boulder down the hillside on top of him. Both Kurtz and Urdemann blazed away with their muskets at the sound. The camp erupted with shouting and gunfire, and neither Kayser nor any of his men got much sleep for the rest of the night. The next day, Jim and Bakat were watching when the enemy mounted up and came after them again. "When will Kayser give up and turn back to the colony?" Jim wondered. Running beside him, hanging onto a stirrup leather, Bakat chuckled. "You should not have stolen his horse, Samoya. I think you have angered him and made it a matter of pride. We will either have to kill him or give him the slip. But he will not give up before that." "No killing, you bloodthirsty little devil. Abduction of a VOC convict and horse theft are bad enough, but even Governor van der Witten could not overlook the murder of his military commander. He would take it out on my family. My father..." Jim broke off. The consequences were too terrible to think about. "Kayser is no dumbhead," Bakat went on. "He knows by now that we are going to a meeting with your father. If he does not know where... all he has to do is follow us. If you are not going to kill him, you will need help from the Kulukulu himself to throw Kriya off our spoor. I could not be certain of doing it even if I were travelling alone. But now we are three men, a girl who has never been in the wilderness before, two horses and 6 loaded mules. What hope do we have against the eyes, nose and magic of Kriya?" They reached another ridgeline where they stopped to rest drum fire and let the pursuit come in sight once again. "Where are we, Bakat?" Jim rose in the stirrups and gazed around at the awe-inspiring chaos of mountain and valley that surrounded them. "Oh, this place has no name for ordinary men. Do not come here unless they are lost or mad." "Then which way are the sea and the colony?" He found it difficult to keep a sense of direction in the maze of the mountains. Bakat pointed without hesitation, and Jim squinted at the sun to check his bearings. But he did not question Bakat's infallibility. "How far?" "Not far if you ride on an eagle's back," Bakat shrugged. "Perhaps 8 days if you know the road and travel fast." "Kayser must be running out of supplies by now. Even we are down to the last bag of chugga and 20 pounds of maize meal." "He will eat his spare horses before he gives up and lets you go to the meeting with your father," Bakat predicted. Late that afternoon they watched from a safe distance as Sergeant Urdemann selected one of the horses from the remount herd and led it into a ravine near where Kayser's troop were camped. While Urdemann held its head and Richter and Larisch stropped their knives on a rock, Kurtz checked the flint and priming in his pistol. Then he walked up to the animal and placed the muzzle against the white blaze on its forehead. The shot was muted, but the horse dropped instantly and kicked convulsively. "Horse steaks for dinner," Jim murmured, "and Kayser has food for another week at the least." He lowered his telescope. "Bakat, we cannot go on like this much longer. My father will not wait forever at the Kharib." "How many horses do they have left?" Bakat asked as he picked his nose thoughtfully and examined what he had excavated. Jim lifted the glass again and ran it over the distant herd. 16, 17, 18, he counted. 18, including Caesar's Grey. He studied Buckart's face, but it was innocent. The horses? Yes, of course, he exclaimed. Buckart's studied expression broke, and his face creased into an impish grin. Yes, their horses are the only way for us to attack them.